Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. It's crumbs. Always what date is it today? The 16th of December. Goodness me.
9 days until the big one.
Where have all these 9 months gone? I can't believe.
Nine months? Wow. I'm just on about the last 15 days of December.
I thought you were going to say 15 years, but anyway.
Yeah, where have the last 15 years gone since I was in year 8 in high school? Goodness, yeah. That was... Those days were simpler, weren't they? They were a lot simpler being in year 8.
Yeah, that's right. Much easier. Uh-huh. But there we are. We it's time that you grew up anyway, but some would say you still haven't.
But I'll hold my hands up and say I'm a child at heart. And a child of God, so, and judging so just watch
by,
it.
Judging by how much fun you have with NBC Kids Online every Sunday morning, I don't think
plug.
You should grow up.
What an amazing plug. I didn't pay him to say that. I'm actually going to give them another plug in a few minutes' time, because the topic of today's podcast links in very well with what we did with NBC Kids a couple of weeks ago.
Perfect.
But we're not going to do that yet. We're not going to do that yet. Because I just wanted to ask you, Tim, are you ready for Christmas?
Well, I can't really say, because Kerry's probably listening to this, isn't it? But yes, I have bought her final Christmas present now. So
have you?
Yes.
Excellent. So she's looking forward to that new car.
Funny you should say that as well, Tom. Ours is breaking down, so
wonderful. So if anyone in our congregation is loaded and would like to buy Tim a new car, then please feel free to. He'll be very appreciative.
Yes.
Part of the reason I ask is we have been ever so busy, haven't we, as a church, trying to get ready for Christmas. And it was kind of the theme of the end of the kids' church this weekend, get ready for Christmas, and this Saturday coming up as well, we've got a getting ready for Christmas special little mini episode. Only a very short one, but it's I kind of feel, again, each week I'm getting a little bit more Christmassy. And we had the most wonderful time with the University Hostel Orchestra last Thursday evening, didn't we?
We did. It was amazing.
Beautiful. And we had the most fantastic time last night with our own NBC singers too. And we are, I'm gonna say this, I think we genuinely are delighted to be able to share these recordings with you over the weekend. So that'll be on Sunday evening, our candlelit carol service. And I was talking to someone from another church today who is going to be tuning in for that. So even if you don't normally catch our Sunday morning services because you're involved with your own churches, then Sunday evening you can come along and be a part of our virtual congregation for our candlelit carol service, virtual, online, whatever its actual title is.
How many candles do we need to have at home to call it a proper candlelight service?
74.
Oh, right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing how many people end up with.
But it might not be 74. Please
be careful, though. Please be careful.
I tell you what, I think a good barometer for how many candles you need is the number of inches that your television is in size. So if you've got a 40-inch television, then you're going to need to have 40 candles around it to make it feel Christmassy, to feel like a proper candlelit service. So it probably matches up with church normally. Our screens are, what, 110 inches? So 220 candles around church is probably about the number we'd normally have. It's a great barometer. There we go. I've sold Christmas for everybody.
Talking of barometers.
Yes.
I want to offer you something. I've got a broken barometer, Tom. Would you like buy it? No pressure.
Can I just put it out there now? This bit is definitely going to be edited out.
I hope not. Anyway.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Advent.
Maybe it will slip in. But Advent. Anyway, back to the real reason that you're listening. Not for our irreverent comedy, but for our continuation of going through our Advent readings for this year, 2020. We've been focusing all week on how Jesus Christ came to bring us joy so that we can have joy in our lives. And today we are focusing on what it means for Jesus Christ to be born to be the Lamb of God. It's a fantastic statement. There's lots of words that are used to describe Jesus all the way through the Bible. It's funny that he was called the Good Shepherd as well as the Lamb of God. We're focusing more on the Lamb of God today, but here's my plug. If you want to hear about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, then you can watch our NBC Kids Online from a few weeks ago, where we focused very heavily on this idea of Jesus being the Good Shepherd, just as David was a Good Shepherd in the Old Testament. But that's my plug done, and we're now going to read together today's Old Testament passage, which comes from Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If there is some left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And then the passage goes on to say in verse 21, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the doorframe. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top of the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron."
It's an amazing story, isn't it? And one that gives us such an insight into the life of Jesus, as well as Passover and the whole significance of Jesus being the Lamb of God as well. And a very powerful, powerful story. I was interested, a couple of things sort of struck me as you were reading that verse 4 says you're determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. And it's that type of there's always enough for us, isn't there? And I was just struck by how, you know, Jesus is enough for us, you know, whatever it is, and whatever our needs are, that he's always enough. And he made sure that he was enough for all of our hunger, you know, to be satisfied in him, for his sacrifice for us, you know, was enough for us to be forgiven and set free. And that was a good moment. And then there was in verse 11, it says, "Eat it in haste." I was always told off as a kid for eating too quickly. But there was a reason, obviously, for this moment. And that was because God was about to do something, and that need for us to be ready, you know, to be ready for what God wanted to do next in their lives as well, and to be in the right place at the right time. and prepared for the next bit of the journey, and how important it is for us. And that's the whole point of Advent, isn't it? It's this preparation time, yeah, for us to be ready. Obviously, we're celebrating, you know, the birth of Jesus, but this is also a preparation to be ready for the second coming of Jesus as well. And we prepare ourselves ready for that moment, and we shouldn't leave it too late. We shouldn't be too slow in getting prepared for that as well. So, yeah, no, really powerful reminder and a very vivid picture that the writer paints for us in this particular incident.
I can remember reading a few years ago, well, not reading, I think researching is a better answer, a better phrase, because I was curious as to why a lamb was used. Why not any other animal? And it was kind of, I mean, it's painfully obvious now I've kind of looked at it, but lambs are this pure, innocent animal, aren't they? They can't look after themselves. And as we know, shepherds are required to look after sheep. They are helpless when it comes to having a predator attack them. All they can do is run. And I think it's a beautiful image, isn't it? An image of a lamb. We talk about spring lambs, don't we? And then we eat them all at Easter as well, which is a slightly strange thing. But spring lambs are certainly a beautiful sight to behold. And you've got this funny thing, how the lamb is often an animal that children would look after in the house. And then all of a sudden, God is telling his people, you've got to kill this perfect, beautiful, innocent creature. Because this is what will save you. It's a pure animal. And of course, you can immediately see the likeness to Jesus Christ, who was born into the world as a pure and perfect human. And it's this idea, when we start to draw parallels between what we read in the Old Testament, between what we see in the New Testament, that something that is pure, has done no wrong, has to be sacrificed in order to make things right. And I was, you know, we've been looking at the role of the high priest a couple of weeks back in our daily podcasts. And then part of looking at what the high priest's job was to sacrifice lambs twice a day, each morning and each evening, on behalf of the people, to make good the sin of everyone. It was a kind of peace offering made towards God. And I suppose this practice went on for the entirety of the Old Testament. And then we come to our passages from the New Testament, and we begin to see that the lamb that was almost used to bring people towards God is replaced forever by the person who is the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, John speaks these amazing words. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not sins, sin. It is just the most remarkable single sentence. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the passage in 1 Peter, the second New Testament passage we have for today, from 1 Peter 1, verses 17 to 21, just furthers that. "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God."
Yeah, it's amazing words from Peter, isn't it? You know, and you think all the struggles he had, the doubts, the courage, the fear, whatever it was, you know, he had those moments of high faith, and then he had those moments of falling into the water when he took his eyes off Jesus. But how this sort of imagery just overwhelmed him as well. And I think that John, you know, John the Baptist pointing people to Jesus is such a powerful reminder again for me, you know, of what it is we're called to. You know, as followers of Jesus, we're called to point people to him, you know, and here's the Lamb of God. And I've no doubt we've all met people who are struggling with all sorts of things going on in their lives. And we try desperately to help as much as we can, of course. And that's exactly what we should do. Practical help, emotional support, you know, all sorts of support we can give. But actually, you know, what it comes back to is pointing people to Jesus and saying, here's the one who can deal with the one thing that you can't deal with yourself. You know, that sin that easily tangles us up and trips us up, the thing that separates us, you know, to God. And here's the Lamb of God. Here's the one, the perfect, pure sacrifice who enables, you know, us to be sheltered by God, for us to feel secure and safe in the knowledge that there's a bigger future, eternal life for those who will trust him. And yeah, that's a great reminder of keeping the main thing, as followers of Jesus, and that is to keep pointing towards Jesus as the one who comes to resolve the biggest problem we have. And Peter says the same, doesn't he? You know, he was chosen before the creation of the world. You know, God had a plan, a perfect plan for all of humanity, all of us. He had a perfect plan. And in these last times, he's been revealed for our sake. He's come for us. And this is our amazing opportunity to respond to him and to make the Christmas story a living reality in our lives every single day. Because Christmas story is about people coming to Jesus. They came to Jesus to worship him, to, you know, honour him, to praise him. And I think this Christmas, again, let's come to Jesus and let's bow down and worship him and receive from him what it is he's come to give us. And that is life, life in all its fullness and freedom and forgiveness. So, yeah, very powerful image, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Beautiful.
The fulfillment of prophecy is seen all through the Bible. We've been covering this for the past month, but it is just this incredibly powerful image. And, you know, Isaiah 53:6 is one of those really popular verses to do with sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, because we all know that. And it took a good shepherd to come and help us. But what happened to that good shepherd? Well, Isaiah 53:7 tells us what would happen to Jesus. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And at this Christmas time, I think it's vital for us to remember that. For us to remember that as we look upon the crib and we look upon the baby Jesus in the manger, think of the sheep that are around him, think of all of the scene that we observe, but think about what the child went on to do, to live the life that we couldn't live so that we can have life in all of its fullness, knowing Jesus, being able to give a reason to this season.
Thanks, Tom. It's been lovely just to reflect on all these aspects of Jesus during these Advent podcasts. And I hope and pray for all of you who are listening that this has been a real enhancement to this period of time, to think about these various facets of who Jesus is, that gives us that sort of beautiful diamond and that beautiful opportunity to see the richness of his coming into our world. A baby born one with us, but who reveals the Father to us, and who came to deal with the sin that so easily grabs hold of us as well. Bless you as you listen. And praying that you'll continue to know his presence and his power at work in you as well. So, Tom, we're getting closer still to all that's going on. And be good just to pray, wouldn't it? Just to pray blessing on all those who are listening today, that they might continue to experience his presence in their lives as well. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that it was your plan and purpose to send Jesus into our world. And at just the right time, he came. Thank you that he came with a purpose, and that was to enable us to be put right with you, Father God. And we thank you that Jesus, Lamb of God, that you came to take away the sin of the world, and that you did it. that you didn't hold back anything from us, but you gave of your very best, you gave yourself as the sacrifice for me, for each one of us. So help us to understand more of who you are, Jesus, and may this Advent season be a season of great joy as we recognise all you've done for us and the power of your love and of your presence with us. Fill us again, I pray. Give us wisdom and understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So let's respond like the shepherds did this Christmas when they heard the news that the Lamb of God had been born. Let's share the good news. Let's glorify God. Let's praise him through all that we do. And this Christmas time, let's remember the real reason that we have Christmas at all. If you want to share the good news, then we've already talked about it a little bit today, but we really would like to encourage you to pass on the link to join us for our Carols by Candlelight service on Sunday evening. We've got lots of other things going on, of course. We've got the Christingle on Sunday morning for those of you who are part of our church or those of you who want to join us for a Sunday morning. Details of how you can join in with that have been sent out by email. But I guess this year, our big public event that's not outdoors is our Carols by Candlelight service. And we are really, really excited to be able to share it with you. So once the link is available, get sharing. You can share our website homepage because it will also appear on there. But yeah, like I said, let's respond like the shepherds did. Let's glorify God, let's praise him, and let's share the good news this Christmas. Have you got anything else you want to add, Tim?
No, I think just let's celebrate, let's enjoy, and let's just not hold back from telling the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Enjoy the rest of your week. And enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Carols by Candlelight. Light as many candles as you've got inches on your TV. And I'm sure we'll all have a really fantastic time. We will be back for another episode of NBC Connect next week. But fair warning, it will be a much shorter one than usual, which I'm sure many of you will be going, yay, and whooping and cheering
yay!
At. Oi, rude. So we'll see you again next week. Of course, our daily podcasts are continuing until then. But until we're with you next time, have a wonderful week. God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.